Hello, and welcome to Conversations with Lee Fulkerson, a series of podcasts from Plant Pure Nation. I'm Lee Fulkerson, and my guest today is David C. Reed. Mr. Reed is Vice President for Ambulatory Practice Operations and Chief Administrator for the Department of Medical Oncology at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, Massachusetts. He has overall responsibility for all 14 disease centers in medical oncology and for 8 outpatient oncology floors at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute Yawkey Center for Cancer Care. His top priorities have been improving patient access to Dana-Farber and improving the patient's overall experience. He received an MBA from Boston College and a master's in public health from the Harvard School of Public Health, where he studied epidemiology and health policy. So welcome to the show, Mr. Reed.
Thank you.
Well, we've already touched on some of your responsibilities in the introduction, but my first question is: what are your responsibilities at Dana-Farber? Is there anything I left out?
No. So basically, I am. I am in charge of all the operations for the outpatient ambulatory care, plus all of medical oncology, both the clinical and research aspects. So I have 1,400 people that I'm responsible for. And
wow.
It's everything from keeping the trains running to financial oversight to growth and projections and even the finances as well as philanthropy. So it's responsible for most of the largest department at Dana-Farber here.
That's a big chunk of the pie, I got to tell you. So what were your original beliefs about the causes and treatments for cancer?
Yeah, that's great. I think they're a great question. They're evolving. I always thought it was either, somewhat genetic or somewhat environmental or somewhat viral in those three camps. I never really considered nutrition as part of that. And that has really changed over the last few years of me in this role.
So when and how did you become aware of plant-based nutrition?
It's different aspects. I read the book, The China Study, by Colin Campbell. I saw the film Forks Over Knives. And I also, through a friend, Catherine Hayward, who was very involved in the production of Plant Pure Nation, and she was at that time working at Mass General Hospital, and we're good friends. She now lives overseas. But through kind of all of those mechanisms, I learned of the importance of the role of plant-based nutrition, as well as being, somewhat inoculated with this concept, being at the Harvard School of Public Health.
So did you find Dr. Campbell's book convincing? I mean, were you a convert right away, or were you kind of skeptical at first?
I wouldn't say skeptical. I'd say that I had somewhat of a traditional diet, and for me it's been a journey, and I'm not all the way there yet. I have a wife and 2 wonderful kids, and they're probably a little bit more skeptical or harder to convince than I am. I work with a lot of scientists and clinicians, and everything's evidence-based, but not so much at home. So, it was me that had to say, okay, we're not eating red meat anymore, and that took a while, or not eating pizza, or not eating donuts, or things like that. So,
I can imagine.
Our whole family has come a long way.
Well, that's good. In terms of your scientific beliefs about what the causes and treatments for cancer were previously, how did it affect your opinion about those things?
One, we're realizing more the importance of nutrition, and I think, a lot of the great movies and documentaries out there, Food Inc. and a lot of them, Super Size Me, just shows the important. The other thing that also being at the School of Public Health and having friends in the nutrition department, they were at the forefront of understanding what was going on with the obesity crisis before it was really in the public's eye. So that was really enlightening and concerning. So I said, what am I doing, with my diet that I should be, changing it to a more healthy diet too? And what are the food companies doing to kind of influence us not to make changes and have a worse diet. So,
they are doing that. You can anytime you turn on the TV, practically you can see evidence of that. So, are you now actively promoting plant-based nutrition at Dana-Farber?
You know, it's interesting. We had a discussion last Friday, the first one, and no, not yet, but actually possibly setting up a plant pure pod for our employees here. But, you know, realistically, you know, that's going to go through the Human Resources Department, and we're talking about sometime in 2017. I'd like it to be a little bit quicker, and I'm going to push them on that, but the discussions have started. But this is a large place where so you have both employees as well as physicians, and we have, you know, kind of an outcomes-based group that studies these types of things. So they're going to also be looking at it. But again, those also some of our biggest skeptics, and they're in the oncology world. So this is a hard. It's like turning an oil tanker around. You know, it takes a long time to turn some of the thinking about this around, even when you're in the family of healthcare and at, you know, a very prestigious academic medical institution like Dana-Farber is. So it takes a while.
So who are your biggest skeptics that you face?
Even some of the, you know, the MDs. I mean, I look at, you know, what they eat and drink, and some will have, you know, be in a 7 a.m. meeting with them, and they'll be having a Diet Coke or something, you know. And even our own cafeteria, I can work some days that are pretty long, so we'll go down to the cafeteria at 2:30, and all of the salads and stuff have all been put away, but the pizza bar is open, and I was myself going down at 2:30 or 3 to get a couple of slices of pizza, so I had to cut that out cold turkey. So it's even, you know, the people that are deciding on what our food choices are and our nutrition is going to be for our employees. So we've got a long way to go. If we can't, you know, make those easy choices at a place like Dana-Farber, I'm sure at some companies and you know, banks are not going to be able to do it as easy.
On the other side of the coin, who have your biggest supporters been?
I think some of my colleagues and friends, and you kind of self-select your friends, but I have a group of friends now who are vegetarians or vegans who are helping me in my journey, and a lot of them are physicians and clinicians, but some who aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's interesting. My daughter, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and we have chickens. I live up in the country. We have chickens at home. And she announced last year that we would no longer be eating chickens because these are her friends. And so she and I said, I'm going to support that and follow you. And now our family has no chickens. So that was yet another avenue to get more towards a plant-based, you know, healthier eating. And I have already given up red meat and a few other things. So,
what about the eggs from the chickens? Do you still eat those, or are those?
Yes.
Off?
Yeah, we do.
Well,
yeah, no, we still eat eggs. Again,
okay.
Part of the journey, and
yeah. No, I get it, man. I, you know,
but no chicken meat or anything. So,
sure. Do you think plant-based nutrition is gaining greater acceptance as a cancer treatment or preventative measure among oncologists in America?
Yes, I do that, both among oncologists and also cardiologists. I think the head of the American Association of Cardiology now is either vegetarian or vegan. And I do think the more and more the evidence base. And so the kind of good news is that a lot of this information is on the web. But as we all know, we can find an excuse for anything on the web, including the converse. So you're kind of always battling what's out there on the web for any kind of treatments, both valid and less than valid or crazy.
That's for sure. What about some of the oncologists that you are? Do you know a lot of the oncologists at Dana-Farber?
I know all 240 of them.
all 240. That's a lot. Of the 240, how many would you say, would you guess or estimate of those people are receptive to the idea that nutrition can have an impact on the disease that they've been trained to treat their whole lives?
That's a great question. We have a dietary department here, and tragically, I'd say it's probably less than 5%, and I might be even being generous with that. And I'm astounded by that, but we have a long ways to go. Even, you know, with studies like the China study that have come out, you know, a lot of, we need to replicate more of those studies. And there's, you know, there's people that push back on the research and science. Well, let's have another study, whatever it takes to get there.
Right. So these oncologists are, I don't want to say trapped, but they are, they've been trained and they've spent their whole careers in the traditional sort of way to think about cancer and to treat cancer. And it, I would think it would be really difficult for people like that who spent their entire careers and have become really successful too. I mean, to be, you know, employed at a prestigious place like Dana-Farber, it would be, I think it would be really difficult for them to suddenly think to themselves, well, you know, gee, everything I've been doing is wrong. All I need to do is feed these people differently and we can either prevent their cancers or in some case reverses, say cases.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. It's really, you know, we're reactive to these tumors, whether it be a solid tumor or a liquid tumor. The oncologists, like you say, they've been trained to that. So, you know, these we can either treat them with chemotherapy or cut the tumor out or, you know, do some kind of radiation therapy rather than being preventive and proactive. You know, we're they're not reimbursed by how many cancers they prevent. They're reimbursed and paid for by how many cancers they cure. And there's a lot of money coming into oncology from the pharmaceutical industry. And there's very little money, like none, being offered. Like, well, if, you know, let's go and have a salad versus let me, you know, sell you this very expensive drug.
Yeah, I can see that, and you know, so I'm sure it seems to me that that's got to be a huge impediment to this idea getting across. And that's my next question: what factors do you think are the greatest hindrance to the greater acceptance of plant-based nutrition as a cancer treatment or preventative measure?
I think, you know, changing current norms and traditions. And also having, you know, a true study that you get some of, you know, the believers and non-believers together to develop one final study. Because a lot of these studies are done, and it's easy to say that the study methodology was flawed or not ideal. Well, let's set up, you know, and there's people that study methodology. So let's get them in the room with some of the Colin Campbells and some of the non-believers and develop another peer-reviewed, blind-controlled trial or whatever to make sure that we get some more definitive answers on this.
Do you see anything like that on the horizon? Any sort of study like that? Or any?
No, I don't. I would think, you know, the folks in the nutrition world would understandably be wanting to do. But the more and more folks that I know that are going for their PhDs in nutrition really see the benefit of a plant-based diet. And I think it's really leaning towards that. But again, the public is fighting all of these, you know, commercials that are on the TV every night or on our web browser about, you know, some of the worst foods, et cetera. So, you know, I just mentioned about the pharmaceutical industry and all the money going in there. Well, that's nothing compared to how powerful the food industry is these days.
No, there's no question about that. Also, I mean, you know, it seems like if this idea about nutrition being a plant-based nutrition being a significant preventative, that places like Dana-Farber would maybe go out of business. I mean, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's that, you know, they're that malicious, but I just think they don't really believe yet in the concept of plant-based nutrition being a preventative mechanism. So if they did, I mean, that's kind of a, you know, if it does prove that, and if someone can prove it, that's a kind of a Nobel-type research project.
One would think, yeah. But there's certainly, I mean, I think it's this sort of institutional inertia that is a huge impediment. You know, it's not ill will among doctors.
Yeah, there's no malice. There's no, exactly.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of institutional will to stay the course.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think doctors of any kind get into the business, you know, because they don't want to cure people. They want people to get better, you know, and these people are some of the most dedicated, hardworking people in the world.
Right.
And
but I will give Dana-Farber credit because, you know, they, you know, brought Colin Campbell in here to speak. They brought Dr. Greger here to speak into their, you know, largest auditorium, and both talks were filled. So there's they're open to it.
That's really the
conversation occurring.
That's good news, and that's promising. You know, I think 10 years ago that wouldn't have happened. Colin Campbell could have never gotten close to a place like that, Dana-Farber, or certainly
right.
not gotten any kind of a hearing out of the people who work there. But now that seems to be changing. He's also is doing lots of presentations at medical schools,
right?
Which,
yes.
I think is really kind of a promising development for the future.
You know, as I learned from these doctors, including my friend Catherine Hayward, they get virtually no nutrition training, like none, in medical school, which is pretty amazing.
It's amazing. It is amazing. There's nothing in medical school, apparently. That may be changing a little bit, but certainly there was none in Dr. Haywood's day, and probably very little now. But the fact that Dr. Campbell is getting invited to these places to talk, I think, is really encouraging.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So in your view, what does the future hold for the greater acceptance of plant-based nutrition as specifically as a cancer treatment or preventative measure?
I think the, you know, it's only going to increase. I think that, again, more research projects need to occur in this country. And, you know, people have to have, you know, want to do what's right, no matter what, you know, and kind of if we can eliminate some of the profit margin out of some of this stuff, that would greatly help. Not too unlike, you know, us needing to get off fossil fuels or anything like that. So there's a lot of money in oil. There's a lot of money in food. There's a lot of money in pharmaceuticals, rightly or wrongly.
So, do you believe that plant-based nutrition can significantly lower the incidence of cancer in America ultimately?
I do. There's a lot of different types of cancers. What I personally don't know about, and I'm not sure anyone knows about, whether it, you know, lowers a certain, you know, whether it lowers GI cancers or GU
right.
cancers or GYN cancers, or on the liquid tumor side, the leukemias, lymphomas, the myelomas. And those are the types of studies, I think, if they got to the point where they showed, because cancers are all different. And I think the fact that now that we have the human genome mapped, you know, coordinating some of these studies with their genomic profile, we'll be able to link this. So now with the kind of the big data we have from genomics, in addition to knowing more about nutrition, I think these will come together over the next 20 years, hopefully before.
So, what do you see as the time horizon for this? Is it 20 years? Is it 10? Is it going to take a generation?
I it probably, like anything, it'll take a long time. Hopefully it will occur. I think changing the, reimbursement system, how hospitals are reimbursed, how docs are reimbursed, will help. And, you know, there's already discussions about those things occurring. But, you know, again, it's like, you know, turning around an ocean liner. So I don't have an exact date, and I wouldn't even want to guess. I hope it occurs sooner rather than later.
Do you think the public is ahead of this, on this issue, ahead of the medical establishment?
Not necessarily. I think it's unfortunately such a, a small percentage in the public and a small percentage in the medical establishment, but it is growing. And like anything, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm in the bicycle advocacy world too, and that's completely changing cities as more and more young people don't want to drive. I'm on the board of the East Coast Greenway Alliance, and more people in the cities want to bike to work and school. That's wonderful to see. And, you know, in the 60s and 70s, when we were building all the highways and the roads, people never even envisioned that.
Never. That's true. It does seem to be sort of catching on with younger people. Do you think it's reached a point where this idea has taken hold and is not going to go away in the public's mind anyway?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's more and more of these pods being set up with, or vegetarian groups popping up that serve just vegan food. I was at one in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago. It was,
Philadelphia.
Boston here. Yes.
Wow. That's interesting. Right along the Philly cheesesteak, you can get some.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I'll be convinced the big breakthrough for me will come when, they have a vegan option, vegan options at, the ballpark when you go to a baseball.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know, that's a great point. I love going to Red Sox games, and part of my experience it used to be to get a hot dog or sausage. And the last few I've been to, it's, I of course don't do that anymore, and I don't miss it either. But it was part of the experience.
Of course, it's a huge part of the experience. I had the pleasure when I was visiting Boston once. I did take in a game at Fenway, and what a great place to watch a baseball game, first of all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrific ballpark, and the people are great. And I of course, in those days, this was a long time ago, I had a hot dog, a beer, and it was just an integral part of the experience,
Exactly, yeah.
But
that's changing too. I think that it'll be interesting to see how many professional sports venues now each year offer vegetarian options or salads even, or.
That would be really interesting. Or if you could get a veggie burger or something like that, or instead of or something instead of nachos. I don't even, the nachos they serve are not even cheese anyway. It's something else.
No, yeah, it's just like, bright orange, some version of plastic or something.
Exactly. It's just kind of this glop that sort of tastes like cheese, but God knows what's in it.
Right.
So anyway, that does it for my list. You got anything else you'd like to add? Anything?
No. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Again, I'm still on my journey. I think this conversation will help. Anything we can do to get the word out on the plant-based movement is wonderful.
Well, that's great. And I thank you so much for your time, and also, for having the moral courage to encourage this idea at an institution like Dana-Farber. I think that's really important, and it's really going to help in the long run. So I thank
Great.
You very much for your efforts.
You're absolutely welcome. Happy to. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Thank you. Take care now.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.